Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Here at KGov, KGOV.com, Bob Benyart Live, we talk about relationships, and so tragically we see that more and more marriages, the percentage of marriages that end up failing, has been on the increase for decades. And it's a real tragedy how relationships have deteriorated over time. And, of course, that starts out when people are young getting into relationships. And so often everything that's done is done wrong. So we thought, where can we go to find an expert on teenagers and relationships? So we're going to my home state of New Jersey, Holland Township, and we're going to talk to a teenager, 16-year-old Leah Geiser. Leah, welcome to Bob Benyart Live.
Hi.
Hey, it's great to have you on the show, Leah. You and your dad, Kevin, were out at Denver Bible Church visiting last month. We had a wonderful time talking to you guys.
And yeah, it was fun being there.
Yeah, didn't we have a good time? Your dad is a hoot.
Yes, he is.
He's a lot of fun. And we got to have dinner after the church service, as my wife Cheryl and I often do with visitors who come, especially from out of state, but who come from anywhere locally. And it turns out that not only are you rather well-educated and eloquent, Leah, I'm sure you've heard that from others, but you wrote a paper on relationships and dating, and I was hoping you and I could talk through it.
Sure, that's fine.
Because I read your paper, and it's very interesting. It introduced a couple of ideas I hadn't considered, but do you want to get us started in describing your paper?
Well, I've always had problems with the dating because of my family. A lot of them support dating, and I don't support dating. So I needed to people come to me, and they say, well, it's a good thing, and I would always be able to use the Bible to defend my point, but I could never use as many secular points. So that's what I tried to do, was I researched all the secular ways in which I could show how it was bad, our transition from courtship to dating and now the hooking up phase.
Now the hooking up phase. So as we talk through this, we'll define terms as we go. From courtship to dating and now the hooking up phase, tell us, what is the hooking up phase?
Well, what hooking up basically is to have intimate relations with people that you don't necessarily know or aren't in a relationship with.
Mm.
And so then they say that there's no emotional connection, where it happens a lot in colleges nowadays, mm-hmm. where the people there, they'll go out and they go to bars and then they go back and have intercourse with just some random guy and then go home and then never see that person again.
Yeah, what a great tragedy. And typically, historically, men have been willing to do this, but increasingly now women have a lower and lower self-image. We're no longer telling young women that they are made in God's image and likeness, that they are worth waiting for, that God made physical intimacy for marriage, that this is the context in which you have children and build a life together. But they're taught that they're animals, and so there's nothing wrong with behaving like animals. And so increasingly, women are sharing in this mindset that there's no real consequences, and all the results are becoming increasingly obvious, even to secular sources like you found out in your research.
Yeah, our society today, that's what they support. That's just how everybody is taught. If you watch TV shows, there a lot of the ones that I find are popular with teens, like The Secret Life of an American Teenager, 16 and Pregnant, ones like those. They actually portray these relationships as good, but that the baby itself is the bad outcome.
So the baby's bad, but for a girl to meet a guy and hook up for the night and never see him again, maybe. I remember the 17 magazine a few years back. They said it's good to get some information before being intimate. For example, you might want to ask the boy his name.
Yeah, that might be a good thing.
Right.
You can go further and actually know the person.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so, for example, you know, he might give you a disease, and if you don't even know his name, how are you going to get the medical information you need? Of course, God made us, and he gave us the institution of marriage because he loves us, and he wants us to be happy and healthy and prosperous, and to bring children into the world with the best possible chance for them to be happy and healthy and prosperous, of course, in a relationship with God, because otherwise all those things are lies.
That's one of the things I actually was studying about, how the way that kids are being brought up today, that in order to have a child that's psychologically healthy and that understands, you need to be able to talk with the kid about things seriously. If they bring up a topic that you're uncomfortable about, you just have to be serious about it and talk to them. And a lot of parents today don't do that, so they don't understand the risks. And ever since hooking up started, it's increased the rate of venereal disease in heterosexual couples alone. And that's not even with the homosexuals, which is where it's most predominant.
Mm. Yeah, and in fact, I don't have the latest numbers, but I know every time we've looked at the statistics, it's just increasingly epidemic, like on college campuses, HPV, human papillomavirus, is truly epidemic. And you know how Planned Parenthood will tell people, oh, you gotta practice safe sex and use precautions. Well, guess what? Their precautions don't protect you from HPV, and HPV is a factor in cervical cancer and sterility, and it's a real, real tragedy that's hitting millions of young women and men. But oftentimes women take the hit far more harshly than men do.
With the diseases coming out like this, in a way, women are more at risk with the way that they're getting these body images where they have to look a certain way and need to be wanted.
Right.
Some of the people that I've talked to that are my age, they say, well, I don't feel like I really have a choice because I don't feel comfortable saying no, because nobody ever teaches them to say no or what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
When people such as different departments that are supposed to help teens to understand that the risks and what they should be doing. Nowadays, if you ask them, you go up and you say, well, shouldn't you be teaching that abstinence is the only complete and the best way to keep from getting these venereal diseases and from having any other consequences or having emotional problems? And they said, well, yes, but we don't expect anyone to actually listen to that, so it's better if we just teach them to use protection. But protection doesn't always work, and they don't explain that.
Right. And so in reality, these are child sex advocates, and they have very poor view of young people. Christians have a high view of young people, and it turns out that young kids and teens and young adults will often rise to meet expectations, often. So if you have a completely corrupt society, like let's say Germany in the 30s and 40s, then you could turn young people into murderers.
Yes, their brains are still developing. They get what they learn.
Yeah,
and if we're not teaching them that they're of worth and that they need to be able to appreciate themselves and their community and to feel respected, then they're not going to strive for that or think that they can achieve that.
Right, that's right. At the same time, if you have healthy Christian homeschool communities at Denver Bible Church, if I were to brag about anything, it'd be the families and the relationships and the friendships at Denver Bible Church. It's just an extraordinary environment. Well, you were there, Leah. You got a glimpse. You and your dad visited.
Yes, it was much more of a family than the ones that I see in my area. And because a lot of the churches nowadays, some of them have problems with being pulled in by the world because of the generation that's taking over.
Yeah, and so kids go to the local church youth group, and that's where the young girls first lose their virginity, is at a youth group event, or her and a guy go off to a classroom in the church somewhere, or they go behind the school, or they just leave for during the event, and that's where a lot of kids start smoking pot for the first time or get drunk for the first time, is with their youth group friends. And so there's a lot of brokenness in that whole subculture. And I'm not saying every youth group is like that, no, but that's all really common, extremely common. I interviewed a guy who wrote a book on youth groups a while back, and that's extremely common. But when you have solid relationships, just like you're able to raise up kids to be Nazi youth, Hitler youth, you could raise up kids to be godly young men and women who the adults enjoy being with, and the kids enjoy being with the adults. And so there's this complete range of what your expectations are, and we know that the public schools and our government, including the so-called conservative Republican candidates, loads of them, they're child sex advocates, and they say that kids evolve from animals, like all the big Republican candidates do for the most part. Kids evolve from animals. They are animals. They're going to behave like animals, so we just have to tell them to do it safely. And that is such a demeaning view of young people.
It really is, because we have the potential. People just aren't telling us that we do. Because that's one of the things I've noticed. When I would go to the youth group, it would be all cliques and dating. And if you aren't dating someone, you're not cool enough to be with the group or to be friends with these people. And the parents would all be coming in and saying, well, it's the youth pastor should be doing it. And what I see is that it's not only the youth pastor. He can do only so much with every Sunday night. The parents need to help. The community needs to help. These kids need to see an example instead of being supported in the way that they're going.
Yeah, and so you and I have not talked about youth groups. That topic didn't come up when we met. But so you could somewhat see what I had described a moment ago about one of the problems with youth groups. Sometimes it's a place to hook up, really, which is tragic.
Yeah, and there's no place that's safe, even with the youth group, which should be a safe place for teens.
It should be. And the last thing in the world any parent should ever agree to is a youth group sleepover or sleep in at the gymnasium or the church auditorium. Forget it. Just forget about it. Bad idea. But now, and that's, of course, if it's guy and girl. But if it's all guys going on a camping trip or all girls, that's a different story. With parents there. With parents. In fact, Leia, some of our friends at church had their daughter is in gymnastics. And so the coach said, well, we're going to have a sleepover at the gymnasium where we practice, and the girls could all sleep over. And so some of the parents said, well, we're not too thrilled about that, but okay, but we'll be there. And the coaches didn't want the parents there, but they said, no, we'll be there. And so they were there. And guess what? The coach's teenage sons came to the young girl's sleepover party. And the parents were awfully glad that they were there.
Yeah. I don't understand how the coach could have thought that was a good thing.
Right. That's because people lack wisdom today in mass. There's a gross lack of wisdom. So I did something after I read your paper. I went at home. We got this heavy old dictionary. Must weigh 40 pounds. It's the Noah Webster's dictionary from 1828. And I looked up dating because you said something in your paper that I thought, oh, come on, Leia, how could that be true? Leia Geiser from Holland Township, New Jersey. How could it be true that the term dating was not in use until more recently for, you know, how we meet a spouse to how we meet a partner to eventually maybe marry somebody? But you trace the beginning of the word dating in relationships. And where did you find that?
Well, I was reading this book by Beth Bailey. It's called From Front Porch to Back Seat, and she traces the way we went from courtship to dating. And when I was reading it, she actually said in there that if you look at old documents and if you look in some of the older dictionaries, dating was actually originally used by prostitutes for the time of their exchange.
Yeah, it was a prostitute. So a prostitute would say, I went on a date and I got paid $100.
Exactly.
So it was a date for a prostitute.
Yes.
And that became
it translated into in the mid-20s to be a relationship between two people who weren't seen as prostitutes.
Right. But tragically, there's some spillover in that because the guy pays for dinner and pays for a movie, and then he has high expectations. and the girl better pay back.
Exactly. That's, so basically he's paying for her company just like he would if he hired a prostitute.
And now when I looked up dating, date and dating in Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, there was a lot said about dating, but it had absolutely nothing to do with relationships. The word date and dating was not a term used for relationships between men and women to get to know one another. That was not a phenomenon that you could find in the dictionary other than courtship, and courtship was very different than dating.
Yes. Courtship was a much safer way of finding a person to marry. Because the parents would actually be there, and it would happen at the girl's home. So the girl or the mother would actually, in proper etiquette, be the ones that were supposed to invite a gentleman over to call on her. And if he wasn't invited and he came, that would be completely indecent and he'd be turned away.
So that you now have a book like From the Front Porch to the Back Seat, and what, the dignity of young women have increased during that transition? Young women have more dignity and self-respect and honor today? Of course not. There's even an epidemic of teen suicide. And one of the things we've done with violent crime and suicide is that we feminized it. So now you have young girls committing suicide in significant numbers.
And even men, because the whole idea of popularity and clicks was stemmed from dating. Because of, in that time, if a gentleman had enough money, he could bring a girl on a date, and so she'd want to date him. And if she was beautiful enough and she had the right supplies and social status, then he would choose to date her. So they'd actually hang up lists where they would grade people on their status in the dating circle from A being the best and E being the lowest. And if you were an E, there was pretty much no chance that you'd ever get a date or a relationship and you'd die alone.
Well, I'm an Enyart, so I don't fare well on that scale. And the tragic thing is that we've all seen it in real life. Of course, Hollywood and novels have popularized it, how young people, they could have their hearts torn out of them because they're not able to handle relationships and commitments, and they get into these emotional relationships as young kids, and the relationship ends, and the boy or the girl is just devastated. But what makes it even worse and far worse is that oftentimes those relationships involve intimacy. And that is like you're literally ripping a part of somebody's body or soul from them. That's how much it hurts when that relationship is ended. And so then in a dating environment, a young woman does this with 2, 3, 4 guys, and every time, the first time they break up is just crushing. And then the second time it's horrendous, and the third time it's bad, and the fourth time it's hard, but each time it's not quite as devastating. And so what they're actually doing is rehearsing for divorce.
Yes, and they're also turning away their emotions. So in a sense, by not showing their emotions or not being able to stay in touch with them and not accepting them, they're making themselves insociable, even sometimes to the point of being a sociopath, like people who get into relationships and then kill the people. That's what a lot of crimes of passion come from, because they're not able to express it in any other way.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because one of the points we make on this show is that the FBI keeps statistics like drug-related crimes, but they do not keep sexual immorality-related crimes. If they kept track with every murder, if they just clicked a field on the database record of whether or not there was sexual immorality involved, sex outside of marriage, pornography, and so on, I think the nation would be stunned to see the degree to which sexual immorality is a significant factor in kidnappings and assaults and murders.
I even have, because I'm very interested in forensics, I have a bunch of books on killers, and one of my books is called Crimes of Passion, and they have lists of just the most famous crimes, and this isn't even including the ones that weren't publicized as much, and there has to be at least 200 just in that book alone in a 10-year period.
Oh, wow, 200 in a 10-year period. And you know what? I even take offense slightly, Leia, at the term crime of passion, because we have emotion because God has passion, and God gave us the ability to have passion, and it's like the world steals our terms. You know, they steal God's ideas. They even steal his colors, like pink. Pink is now supposedly a homosexual color.
And the rainbow, so you can't have all colors either.
And they steal the rainbow, and they steal crime of passion. It's just something wrong about it. It's a crime of lust, a crime of covetousness, a crime of adultery, a crime of fornication. But I don't like calling it a crime of passion, because passion is something experienced between a man and a woman who've committed themselves to one another. Not the kind of dirty lust that high school kids experience in the back seat of a car.
And that's one thing that it's important that teenagers also learn, is what is love? Hmm. Because everyone I talk to, even there are people who are serial daters who they can't go without a boyfriend, so they break up every week and get a new one. And so I ask them, and they tell me that, well, we were in love. And I'm like, but were you really in love? Was it a physical attraction? Did you even know them? You met them, and then 1 hour later you're dating? I don't really understand if you know what love is.
And they become serial daters.
Yes.
Serial daters, and so gradually it becomes easier and easier for them to break up.
And easier and easier for them to take on another person.
Right.
And then convert them to be what they are.
And so when they finally get married, which most people do, because it's hard to lie to yourself forever, that marriage is not important. I'm not talking about people who have a gift of celibacy and being single. Jesus was single. Paul was single. God blesses people who are single. I'm talking about a person who lives to have a relationship, but then lies to himself or herself and says marriage is not important. And so they shack up, they cheapen themselves, they're a terrible example to the children and grandchildren around them. Churches are brought down because this kind of behavior is tolerated when the Apostle Paul says, do not tolerate this. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, and pretty soon the pastor of that kind of church is cheating on his own wife, and he's taking his daughter to an abortion clinic. So Paul said a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
If we were able to reverse this destruction of the idea of sanctity of marriage, a lot of the problems that we see today might be reversed as well, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if you look at a lot of the movies now are showing the Vegas marriages, where you meet one person while you're drunk and gambling in Vegas, and you go and get married by Elvis. And then the next day they say, well, we need a divorce. Well, you haven't even gotten to know that person. Why did you think that marrying was the best thing to do in the first place?
Right. So, Leia, I'm wondering, what would you think about asking your dad if it'd be okay if we posted your paper on our website, kgov.com, along with the show summary for this program?
That would be fine with me, and I think he's fine with it too, but I can ask him.
Yeah, that would be super. And then we'll do that because I think a lot of people will be fascinated, including by your bibliography, the works that you cite. It's very well researched and a fascinating paper. I want to thank you for joining us here. Do you have a last couple thoughts to share with the audience, especially the young girls in the audience and the moms and dads of young girls?
I think that what's most important is to just teach them and to know yourself that you're valued, and that, as one of my favorite speakers, Chad Easton, says, you don't want to be a target, you want to be a treasure, and you should portray yourself that way and to know that so that you don't become a target.
Wow. Wow, you don't want to be a target. You want to be a treasure. So, Leah, we had the last moment, and I asked you, do you have any last thoughts? And you didn't say, oh, yeah, communication is important. You said that we have to teach our children that they are valued.
Yes.
And worth lies in the eye of the beholder, and it is God who made us. We are made in His image and His likeness. We have eternal value and worth because He cherishes us, and He asks us to cherish and love one another. So,
exactly.
Leah, what an honor to have you on the show and a thrill. Will you please tell your dad I said hi, and thanks for you guys visiting Denver Bible Church.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome, and please let him email me about whether or not we could put up your paper, and we'll post that as soon as we get an okay if we do.
Okay.
All right. God bless you, Leah.
You too.
Appreciate that. Leah Geiser from New Jersey. She's the kind of young gal that the friends of Bob and Yart Live have kids like Leah, not just like her. She's precious and unique, unlike any other person in the world. If her parents were pro-choice, they might have killed her, and the world would never have had Leah Geiser. Because we're all different. We're not a bunch of trees. Liberals want to save trees, and every one is almost identical to every other one. But individuals are unique, extraordinarily unique and valuable, and they're willing to dispose of them to promote their sexual immorality. What a tragedy, but what a joy to know Leah Geiser, and check out kgov.com for the show summary and pass this on to someone else.